शांति शांति।
But if we say that remaining evil, we will go to that transcendental level, it is not possible. Because you cannot, remaining evil, you cannot host the good. When you have already, you are able to host the good, then you can transcend, go to the transcendental level, where from good and evil both have come. This is the fundamental process of sadhana. I said that akashaval lepa vidura goham, by that we expand our mind, make it uniform. But there are other shlokas, many, many shlokas are there, which goes to the transcendental level, where they will say, I am neither infinite, not the small. I am, one shloka is that Avadhuta Gita, it's a beautiful shloka.
Shuddham vishuddham avicharam anantarupam, nirlepa lepam avicharam anantarupam. Nishkhanda khandama vicharam anantarupam, jnanamritam samarasam gaganopamoham. Shuddham vishuddham avicharam anantarupam, nirlepa lepam avicharam anantarupam. Nishkhanda khandama vicharam anantarupam, jnanamritam samarasam gaganopamoham.
He says, this is the jnanamrita, I am, he says, the aham. That means, it's a knower's song. He says that, I am the jnanamritam, the nectar of knowledge. Now, this knowledge is the transcendental knowledge, not any other knowledge. I am the nectarine knowledge, which is the samarasam, which is absolutely uniform. There is no division, no fragmentation. Gaganopamoham, like this space. What is that? Shuddham vishuddham avicharam anantarupam. I am pure, very pure. Visheshrupena, vishuddham. I am pure, very pure. I am beyond reason, avicharam. That means all these reasons, they will deal with all other factors, all other our intelligence, the reasons of our intelligence. Finally, this reason should take us to that unfettered reason, where the reason will take us to that transcendental level. So, vichara will take us to the level of avicharam, that is beyond reason. Initially, it is vichara. That is the jnana sadhana, but that jnana sadhana vichara will remove the all the ajnana, and then will take us to the transcendental level, which is beyond jnana and ajnana, which is the advaita jnana. That advaita, we say, is to tackle the dvaita. When advaita and dvaita both are removed, that is the transcendental level. Dvaita advaita vivarjite samarase maunam param sammatam. This I had already said the other day. Dvaita-advaita vivarjite samarase. That is the samarasa. When we go beyond dvaita and advaita both. Maunam param sammatam. The ultimate is, it cannot be expressed by words at all. Because all the words are within the ken of duality. It is beyond that.
Shuddham vishuddham avicharam anantarupam.
I am the infinitude. Although we are saying ananta rupam, can infinity have any rupa? There is no form at all. We say infinity. Infinity we cannot even imagine. By seeing some limit, we say further, further, further. It's a limiting definition. We are saying infinity is a rupa, because that is also, infinitude is also a concept. So, he is saying that I am pure, very pure, beyond reason, infinitude.
Nirlepa lepam avicharam ananta rupam.
I am not only nirlepa. Earlier I said that akashaval lepa vidura goham. That is, like the space, I am taintless. Now here I am saying, I am taintless as well as the taints. Because where from the taints are coming? They are also hosted by the same consciousness. So after becoming nirlepa, we have to go to the transcendental level, which hosts both nirlepa and lepa. nirlepa-lepam-avicharam-anantarupam. I am taintless and taint, beyond reason, infinitude I am I.
Nishkhanda-khandam-avicharam-anantarupam.
So far we have been saying that fragmentation, fragmentation, the whole worldliness is only fragmenting our minds. So we have to go from the fragmentation to the nishkhanda, that is nishkalam. Just now in the previous verse we studied nishkalam, dhyayamanaha. Nishkalam means there is no fragmentation at all. Then we have to go still beyond to the transcendental level where it is nishkhanda khanda. It is non-fragmented as well as fragmented.
Nishkhanda khandam avicharam, beyond reason, anantarupam. I am the infinitude, jnanamritam samarasam gaganopamoham. Shuddham vishuddham avicharam anantarupam, nirlepa lepam avicharam anantarupam. Nishkhanda-khandam-avicharam-anantarupam Jnanamritam samarasam gaganopamoham. Shuddham vishuddham avicharam anantarupam Nirlepa-lepam-avicharam-anantarupam Nishkhanda-khandam-avicharam-anantarupam Jnanamritam samarasam gaganopamoham. Jnanamritam samarasam gaganopamoham.
The other day I said, from the Varaha Upanishad, Kim karomi, kva gacchami, kim grinhami, tyajami kim. What shall I do from this transcendental level? What shall I do? Where shall I go? What shall I grasp or take? And what shall I renounce?
Yan maya puritam vishvam, maha kalpam guna yatha.
When I find that the whole universe is filled with me, the Atma, the soul, like the Mahakalpambu, the Mahapralaya, the end of the world, end of the universe, which happens when the one day of Brahma is over, that is called Mahakalpa. That is the time as if the whole universe is filled with water and water alone. So like that, the whole universe is filled with me and me alone.
Yanmaya puritam vishvam. Mahakalpam gunayatha. Kim karomi kva gacchami, kim grinhami tyajami kim. Yanmaya puritam vishvam mahakalpam gunayatha.
So this is from Varaha Upanishad, and Shuddham Vishuddham is from Avadhuta Gita, and Akashavalle Pavidura Goham is from Viveka Chudamani. So depending on our mood, we can take to any of these recitations, and we can go on singing. The mind will go to a beautiful, blessed state. It can be throughout the day, throughout interactions also this sadhana can go on. And when we sit still in meditation, if throughout the day our mind has been oriented towards this, we call it dhyana mukhinata. He said dhyayamanaha. The dhyana, people meditate, they are not able to meditate, they say. It is because throughout the day they are not oriented towards meditation. Throughout the day, through these thoughts, through these chantings, recitations, our mind will be oriented towards that nishkalam dhyayamanaha. So when we sit, automatically the mind will withdraw from all the worldly fragmentations and get dissolved in the truth. So we will take up the next chapter. Before going to the next chapter, let us chant all the verses in this chapter.
Dvasuparna sayuja sakhaya samanam riksham parishasvajate தயோரன்ய பிப்பலம் ஸ்வாத்வத்தி அனஷ்னநன்யோ அபிசாகசீதி சமானே விரக்ஷே புருஷோ நிமக்னோ அனீஷயா சோசதி முஹ்யமானஹ ஜுஷ்டம் யதா பஷ்யத்யன்யமீஷம் அஸ்ய மஹிமானமிதி வீதசோகஹ யதா பஷ்ய பஷ்யதே ருக்மவர்ணம் கர்த்தாரமீஷம் புருஷம் ப்ரஹ்மயோனிம் ததா வித்வான் புண்ய பாபே விதூய நிரஞ்சன பரமம் சாம்யமுபைதி பிராணோ ஹி ஏஷய சர்வபூதைர் விபாதி விஜானன் வித்வான் பவதே நாதிவாதி ஆத்மக்ரீட ஆத்மரதி க்ரியாவானேஷ ப்ரஹ்மவிதாம் வரிஷ்டஹ சத்யேன லப்யஸ்தபஸா ஹ்யேஷாத்மா சம்யஜ்ஞானேன ப்ரஹ்மசரியேண நித்யம் அந்தஶரீரே ஜ்யோதிர்மயோ ஹி சுப்ரோ யம் பஷ்யந்தி யதய க்ஷீணதோஷாஹ சத்யமேவ ஜயதே நானிருதம் சத்யேன பந்தா விததோ தேவயானஹ ஏனாக்ரமந்த்ருஷயோ க்யாப்தகாமாஹ யத்ர தத் சத்யஸ்ய பரமம் நிதானம் ப்ரஹச்ச தத் திவ்யமசிந்த்ய ரூபம் சூக்ஷ்மாச்ச தத் சூக்ஷ்மதரம் விபாதி தூராத் சுதூரே ததிஹாந்திகே ச பஷ்யத் ஸ்விஹைவ நிஹிதம் குஹாயாம் நச்சுஷா க்ரிஹ்யதே நாபி வாசா நான்யைர்தேவைஸ்தபஸா கர்மணா வா ஞானப்ரஸாதேன விசுத்தசத்வஹ ததஸ்துதம் பஷ்யதே நிஷ்கலம் த்யாயமானஹ ஏஷோனுராத்மா சேதஸா வேதிதவ்யோ யஸ்மின் ப்ராணஹ பஞ்சதா சம்விவேஷ ப்ராணைஷ்சித்தம் சர்வமோதம் ப்ரஜானாம் யஸ்மின் விசுத்தே விபவத்யேஷாத்மா யம் யம் லோகம் மனசா சம்விபாதி விசுத்தசத்வ காமயதே யாம்ஷ்ச காமான் தம் தம் லோகம் ஜயதே தாம்ஷ்ச காமான் தஸ்மாத் ஆத்மஜ்ஞம் ஹி அர்ச்சயேத் பூதி காமஹ. This last shloka of the previous chapter, that is the 3.1.10, and the first two shlokas of the present chapter, that is 3.2.1 and 2, these are related, so we will do it together. The last shloka we did was யம் யம் லோகம் மனசா சம்விபாதி விசுத்தசத்வ காமயதே யாம்ஷ்ச காமான் தம் தம் லோகம் ஜயதே தாம்ஷ்ச காமான் தஸ்மாத் ஆத்மஜ்ஞம் ஹி அர்ச்சயேத் பூதி காமஹ. தேர் தே செட் தட் அ பர்சன் ஆஃப் விசுத்தசத்வ, அ செல்ஃப் நோவர், அ செல்ஃப் ரியலைஸ்ட் பர்சன், whatever loka means, whatever world or whatever thoughts are there in his mind, they all get manifest. So he said that therefore the people who are desirous of worldly prosperity also should go and worship an atmajna, a knower of the self. That was the last. I will come back again to this, some detailed discussion on it. Now let us go over to the next two verses of the next chapter, that is third mundaka, section 2, first and second. Savedai tat paramam brahma dhama,
savedai tat paramam brahma dhama,
yatra vishvam nihitam bhati shubham,
yatra
उपासते पुरुषं ये ह्यकामाः ते शुक्रमेतदतिवर्तन्ति धीराः कामान्यः कामयते मन्यमानः स कामभिर्जायते तत्र तत्र पर्याप्तकामस्य कृतात्मनस्तु इहैव सर्वे प्रविलीयन्ति कामाः In the first verse, he said that this knower of the Brahman, those who worship them without any worldly desires, those who worship them for their own liberation, for the knowledge, they overcome the causality, overcome Janma Mrityu, they get liberated. That means in the previous verse, they said that those who are having worldly desires also should worship. Now they are saying that those who worship them without any worldly desire, only to get liberated or to have the knowledge of the note, realize the ultimate truth, they attain that also. And in the second verse they said that people, those who have various desires, whatever desires they concentrate on, they think about, by the force of that desire, they are taken to such and such places, that where the desires will have its own fructification. So they are taken to places or the worlds where they are surrounded with those desireful objects, whatever they wanted. But a person who is paryapta kama, that means whose all desires are fulfilled, actually not all desires are fulfilled, that means those who have eliminated the desires, those who are satisfied, paryapta kamasya kritatmanastu ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. That here itself, all the forces of their causality, karma and desires, they all get completely dissolved in this life, in this world itself. This is the general statement. Now, this last verse of the previous chapter, where they say that yam yam lokam manasa samvibhati vishuddha sattvah kamayate yamsya kaman tam tam lokam jayate tamsya kaman tasmat atmajnyam hi archayet bhuti kamaha. Now, vishuddha sattva will not generally have any kama at all. Then why this shloka? So often they say that it is an arthavada, that means it is eulogization of the self-knowledge, that whatever they think they desire, that is fructified. And therefore, the people of worldly desires also should go to such a person. Now, this shloka is extremely important, and there is a very good inner meaning in it, which has got lot of social effect also. It is done with lot of social welfare orientation. First of all, I said previously also that a vishuddha sattvaha, because his mind is in tune with the fundamental harmony of nature, whatever thought comes to his mind, it is actually coming into the cosmic nature's mind. So as in prakriti, through the cosmic intelligence, whatever comes in prakriti manifests, like that whatever thoughts come to the vishuddha sattva mind, that being part of the fundamental rhythm of nature, fundamental prakriti, his mind is always in tune with infinitude, in tune with the infinite. So that also gets manifested. That is true. Another point is that when the mind is absolutely calm and free, then whatever thoughts arise in that mind, they have tremendous power, because it's a clear mind where only one-pointed thoughts are arriving. One-pointed thought is there. So it will have tremendous power
So those thoughts also get rectified. That way also it is true. The other point is that they are saying that those who have worldly desires, they should go and worship such a person. We should understand that the purpose of our scriptures is to restrain people from doing anything inauspicious and encouraging and inspiring people to do whatever is for welfare, whatever is auspicious. Now, everywhere in our shastras it has been mentioned that the greatness of satsanga, that is, even if a person is not after spiritual knowledge, he is given to worldly desires also. For him also, it is always advised, satsanga has been extolled greatly because it will always lead to the welfare of the people. Now, as far as the kamas in the mind of the Vishuddha Sattva is concerned, it is not like the kama as we understand, desires out of some delusion. It is not like that. But certainly the knower has got a mind which responds to whatever is happening in the world. Suppose he is very much concerned about the society, about the nation, about the globe, and his mind is extremely sensitive about it. So, whatever welfare thoughts about the society, about the globe, about the nation, they arise in a Vishuddha Sattva's mind. Generally, they may take time to get fulfilled, but they have tremendous power in manifestation, such thoughts to get manifest. Similarly, suppose somebody has arrived, somebody has come before a knower, and the knower feels sympathy for him, that he has all the qualities and there is a rightful desire in him that he should, his condition should be set right, or he should have a better life anywhere. So, if such a thought comes to the knower's mind, automatically that will have a very good effect on the person's life, and mostly it will be fulfilled also. The rightful desires will be fulfilled because the mind of the sat, the mind of the knower, will be vibrating with the natural harmony, and in that mind the welfare of the people are always there. So, anybody meeting him will have the welfare. Now, when there the shastras are pointing out that those who have worldly kamas also should go and worship the Atmajna, there is a truth in it, but there is eulogization also. Because what they are trying to do is that by somehow they are trying to take people to satsanga, so that their life, there will be welfare in their life. The same thing we discussed also in the beginning of Mundaka Upanishad about the yaga, yajna, rituals, everything they have. In the yagas, yajnas, etc., they have put some reward that by doing this, you will have, either you will have children in this life, or you will attain heaven after the body falls. There will be several other rewards also, if you do this. And if you do it wrongly, perform it with negligence, this and that, then you will be taken to hell. Those are also there, the conditions like that are also there. Now, the intention is that nobody can ever verify whether the heaven and hell, heavens and hells, they are there or not. Nobody can prove it, neither anybody can disprove it also. We cannot say that it is not there also, and we cannot say it is there. So, taking the help of that concept, what they are doing is that they are encouraging people to do something good and restraining them or to see that they refrain from doing something bad. So, when they do the yagas or yajnas or some rituals, etc., there are so many disciplines that nobody can ordinarily do it. To do it, one needs lot of discipline. Maybe the preparation will take sometimes even 1 year, like Ashwamedha Yaga. There will be so many other vratas and disciplines, fasting, etc. Many things will be there, which will only make the person more under his own control. Normally, we are always indulging in sense objects, indulging in our desires. But here, putting a very high reward of our desire, they are making us undergo some disciplines which we will otherwise not undergo. So, they are putting us through that discipline. What will happen? The result of the disciplines will always be good. We will become under our control. Suppose there is fasting. Fasting means our greed of the tongue, our taste, etc. Everything will be under control. We will not be so much slave to our taste. We will not be so much slave to the body, hunger, thirst, etc. So, whenever we undertake any discipline, it is actually win over our slavery to the objective world. So, all the rituals, all the yaga yajnas, they are only to discipline our life. Otherwise, we will not be disciplined. We will be only involving in the sense indulgence, indulgence of our desires. So, we should look into this, the subtle intention of the rishis who have designed these things. Now, not only that, in most of the yagas and rituals, they end with dana. Dana means liberal giving of whatever you have.